This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The Environmental Protection Agency and PALS are ramping up their pro-WOTUS rhetoric ahead of the publication of the final Waters of the U.S. rule expected within the next week. Speaking at a conference a couple of weeks ago, an EPA official vowed the agency would be undertaking a very aggressive education and outreach program as soon as the rule is signed. This differs not at all from EPA's approach when it released the proposed rule last year. Then and now, the agency's modus operandi is to put the public relations campaign in place and downplay scrutiny of the fine print. Faced last year with concerns about how the rule would expand federal jurisdiction, permitting costs, litigation, and prohibitions on farming practices, the agency responded over and over again that the public should express those concerns via the comment process. Farmers and ranchers, not to mention state agencies and elected officials, plus groups representing virtually every sector of the American economy, did just that. In fact, the majority of those who submitted substantive comments expressed serious concerns about regulatory overreach and costs, and they opposed the rule. If EPA had taken those comments seriously, it would have gone back and rewritten the rule after consulting with state and local governments and farmers and ranchers. Instead, it appears EPA has orchestrated comments, and agency officials again are engaging in public relations efforts as they prepare to release the final rule. There is one difference between EPA's actions a year ago and now. This time, there will be no comment period. A final rule is just that, final. EPA may not be listening, but Congress is. The House recently passed a bill that would force EPA to go back to square one and actually do what it's supposed to do, listen and work with the regulated community. Now it's the Senate's turn. Contact your senators and let them know that agriculture's concerns haven't been addressed and haven't gone away. As EPA and its friends turn up the volume over the next week, so will we. Just as we did last year, Farm Bureau will go through the rule word by word, and Farm Bureau will detail its impacts on farmers and ranchers. Ditch the rule. Iowa Farm Bureau member Darcy Malusby testified Tuesday in front of the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship during a hearing titled An Examination of Proposed Environmental Regulations' Impact on America's Small Businesses. As a fifth-generation farmer and a small business owner, Malusby was invited by Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa to share her perspective on Iowa farmers' continuous improvement of conservation practices and share concerns about potential negative consequences if the Environmental Protection Agency's regulatory authority under the Clean Water Act is expanded. A USA Today editorial points out that 88% of scientists say GMO foods are safe, as do 37% of Americans. Companies banning foods with GMO ingredients claim to be doing the right thing for consumers, the editorial points out. But what they're really doing is validating ignorance and hysteria. As Trans-Pacific Partnership nations meet this week in Guam to continue negotiations, agri-food producer and processor organizations from Canada, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand remain united in their call for a modern trade agreement that includes meaningful and comprehensive market access opportunities for agriculture and agri-food. The organizations advocating for an ambitious, fair, and comprehensive Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement are the Canadian Agri-Food Trade Alliance, the American Farm Bureau Federation, the Australian National Farmers Federation, and the Federated Farmers of New Zealand. Together, they represent hundreds of thousands of farmers, producers, processors, and exporters who, in turn, employ millions of workers across the Trans-Pacific Partnership region. The national nonprofit transportation research group, TRIP, has released a new report that shows the U.S. rural transportation system needs vast improvements. According to the report, in 2013, 15% of the nation's major rural roads were rated in poor condition, and another 39% were rated in mediocre or fair condition. In 2014, 11% of the nation's rural bridges were rated as structurally deficient and 10% were functionally obsolete. Rural transportation is really a three-legged stool relying on water, rail, and roads. Without any of the three of those, our rural communities can't thrive in the way they really should. To facilitate the necessary improvements, solutions at the county, state, and federal level must be implemented while barriers in the permitting process are reduced. Nominations are now being accepted for consideration for the Women in Agribusiness Demeter Award of Excellence, which acknowledges the outstanding achievements of women in the ag sector. The awards will be presented at the 4th Annual Women in Agribusiness Summit hosted by HiQuest Group this year in Minneapolis, September 28th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency. The Women in Agribusiness Demeter Award of Excellence, so named for Demeter, the goddess of harvest from ancient Greek mythology, will be given in three categories. The categories reflect the mission of Women in Agribusiness initiatives, which is to help develop leaders, increase industry knowledge, and inspire action for women in the agribusiness sector. They are Leader of the Year, Innovator of the Year, and Company or Organization of the Year. Rose Acre Farms, which has 17 facilities across six states, said it would euthanize about 1.5 million chickens in Winterset, Iowa. Rose Acre Farms is one of dozens of poultry farms hit hard by the worst avian influenza outbreak in U.S. history. About 40% of Iowa's egg-laying hens, about 25 million birds, are dead or will be euthanized. The World Trade Organization has ruled against U.S. labels on packaged steaks and other cuts of meat that say where the animals were born, raised, and slaughtered. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative said Monday that the WTO has rejected a final U.S. appeal, deciding the U.S. country of origin labels put Canada and Mexican livestock in a disadvantage. Bluebell Creameries will lay off more than one-third of its workforce following a series of listeria illnesses linked to its ice cream that prompted a nationwide recall of all of its products, the Texas company announced Friday. The company, whose production plants remain closed, said 750 full-time and 700 part-time workers are losing their jobs. The Chicago Community Trust and Illinois Farm Bureau hope to bring the state's agriculture and business industries together to turn the city and state into a global hub for farm and food production. What they're calling the Food and Agriculture Roadmap for Illinois outlines plans they hope will create jobs, help protect the environment, and employ new technologies. The state is behind on millions of dollars in payments for University of Illinois Extension for the current fiscal year after stopping payments without notice. The state appropriated $13 million for the fiscal year that ends June 30th, but has made only one payment of $3 million this year, leaving $10 million of funding missing. The White House laid out a strategy Tuesday to address a surge in honeybee deaths that includes scrutinizing the effect of pesticides on the pollinators and planting more bee-friendly vegetation on federal land. Some Illinois counties and municipalities would be allowed to create zoning regulations for wind farm under legislation unanimously endorsed in a House committee Wednesday. The sponsor of the legislation, State Representative Tom Bennett of Gibson City, said the measure clarified existing laws regarding the placement of wind turbines. Monsanto Company emphasized its continuing desire to acquire Syngenta Ag, saying it is committed to divesting itself of its Swiss rival's entire seed business to win regulatory approval for a merger. Monsanto President Brett Begeman said that combining with Syngenta would enable Monsanto to get more seeds and pesticides to market faster, helping farmers raise more crops. Federal Reserve officials at their April policy meeting said they are unlikely to start raising short-term interest rates in June. Officials have been saying they won't begin lifting their benchmark federal fund rates from near zero until they see more improvement in the labor market and are confident inflation will rise toward their 2% target. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.